Putting this. All right. This is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, if we get through all of chapter 4, we're going to come back here to chapter 5 and read this again. And hopefully it'll take on a new meaning for you. It tells us in chapter 5, it is for freedom, verse 1, that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. Now, why would them being circumcised, which is done in the body by the hands of men, why would that make Christ of no value to them at all? Could they not get circumcised and still have faith? No. Because if you let somebody try, if you let somebody talk you into working at a type of righteousness that your righteousness depends on something you do in the flesh, you are proclaimed by what you do. You are proclaimed by what you do that you can earn your righteousness. That righteousness is of you and not of God. Now, we've got to understand why God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision in the beginning. Which came first in Abraham? The sign of circumcision, which is a sign of his faith, or his faith in God? This isn't a rhetorical question. Which came first, do you think? Abraham's faith or the seal of his faith that was done in his member? Faith, absolutely. It started in his heart. And it was shown in his body. It was manifested in what he did. That's important. It was given to him in his male member because God had blessed his line. God had blessed his line. And that's from it is from his the male member that his line would come, right? It was from his loins that his line would come, according to the flesh. And so the seal was given to him there in the flesh, the seal of his faith. But remember, that's only a demonstration in the flesh. Now, hear this. That's only a demonstration in the flesh of his faith that's in his heart. And therefore, all that came according to his flesh was still only a demonstration of something spiritual that God would bring. Hear this again. The sign was given to him in his flesh of what was truly in the spiritual, in his heart, his faith. So God had basically approved of Abraham's faith and credited it to him as righteousness. Therefore, the sign was given to him to mark his faith and to tell him his line would be blessed. But God never counted the line through his flesh. He counted it through his faith. Therefore, anything his flesh produced through that member was still only a sign of the true nature of things, the spiritual. Therefore, the physical people of Abraham are not counted for the seed. It is those who share the faith of Abraham that accounted for the seed. And was pointing to one seed in particular, Jesus. Can y'all see that? So he says, if you let yourself be circumcised, because that's to say that we produce righteousness, not God, when it is a matter of faith, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, and that is to serve the flesh. Mark my words, I tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. And you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and have fallen away from grace. Harsh words, huh? But notice something else. If you let yourself be circumcised, you're obligated to obey the whole law. And the whole law includes sacrifices, that can no longer be made. So all those trying to justify themselves by law are still not keeping the whole law, because the law demands sacrifices. The whole point of keeping the law is to find out that we cannot fulfill it ourselves, and that a sacrifice has to be made for sin. Those who are keeping the law without the sacrifice are preaching a condemnation against their own flesh. Because without the sacrifice, there is nothing left but condemnation. Without a sacrifice, there is nothing left but condemnation. And those who keep the law now do it without a sacrifice. You're responsible for the whole law, which includes the sacrifices. It shows you the futility, doesn't it? So you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ, because it is through faith, by grace, and you've fallen away from grace. But here it is, but by faith, do we produce a righteousness? No. By faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. By faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. We're all still waiting on that white righteousness. You're waiting on it. You don't have a righteousness of your own. You stand in the righteousness of Christ. Your faith is that His sacrifice is enough to bring you to God. That's what your faith is. You believe that His sacrifice was enough to bring you to God. You don't have a righteousness of your own. You're standing in faith that through the resurrection of the dead, God will bring you that righteousness when Jesus returns. You're standing in faith for it. Keep that in mind. So the minute you want to start proclaiming yourself a child of God, apart from faith, you better look at this again. Because right now you are considered to be a sinner, saved by grace. You have the righteousness of Christ. You don't have any of your own. And you won't until Jesus brings you the resurrection. You're standing in faith that God will bring you that righteousness. You're waiting for it. And you won't see it until the resurrection of the dead. The proof of that righteousness is you'll no longer have sin not only in your not in your spirit, but in your body as well. And right now your body's full of sin, isn't it? It's corrupt, and it is corrupting. Outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. You won't be free from sin until you're freed from this body. That's why sin is condemned in sinful flesh. When the body dies, the sin nature will die with it. We've got to understand these things. So now we can go back to Romans, starting in verse 3, verse 21, and you're going to see this played out. What we just discussed from Galatians chapter 5. But now, let's start in verse 19. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, you become conscious of sin. It tells you right here the purpose the law is given to you, to make you conscious of sin. No one is justified by keeping the law. No one! And especially now, when no sacrifice can be made for sin according to law. It goes doubly for now. The days of self-justification are over, if there ever was such a thing. The law wasn't given to you to justify yourself by. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under it. And if you're under it, you're under its curse. So that every mouth may be silenced. Right? No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. No one. But through the law, we become conscious of sin. It shows us what sin is, and therefore shows us our need for a Savior to be delivered from it. But now, verse 21, a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The law and the prophets of the Old Testament, the very law that we're talking about, testified to this righteousness that is by faith apart from law. It's a righteousness from God apart from law that has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice for atonement, to atone for sin, to make up for sin. God presented Him as a sacrifice for atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice. How does this demonstrate His justice? In other words, what it's telling you, God couldn't just say, well, now that you see you're in sin through the law demanded death, and God's perfect. He can't change His mind. He can't just say, ollie, ollie, in free. Now that you see you're in sin, okay, the law fulfilled its purpose, okay, you see you're in sin, now, you know, ollie, ollie, in free. He can't do that. Justice. The law had to be paid. It demanded death for sin. It had to be paid. God's righteousness depends on that. So God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for atonement, and through faith in His blood, as a sacrifice for you in your place, through faith in His blood, He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He had left all your sin unpunished before you received Christ, didn't He? If He'd have punished you immediately for your sin, you'd have died when you were born. Or the first time you committed a sin, whichever way you want to look at it, because you were born into a corrupt nature. But if you're going to wait for the act of sin to be produced, the first time you sinned as a child, boom, you'd have been dead. But God left those sins unpunished. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. So if Jesus has died for you, you are justified. The law has been justly paid, in other words. Right? Jesus was enough. His sacrifice was enough to pay for your sin. Not just yours, but the sin of the world. So where then is boasting on our part? Where then is boasting? It's excluded because we didn't earn anything. We didn't fulfill the law. Jesus did. On what principle? On that observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Apart from it. Now what does this tell you? Don't let any of these law keepers, or these mutilators of the flesh, or these Judaists come along and tell you that their faith is in observing the law. Don't let them tell you that. Take them right here to the Scripture. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. We maintain, As Christians, that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And his faith is in the sacrifice of Christ. Anybody who's still observing the law, you know, as a Gentile, especially, for righteousness, is saying that Jesus wasn't enough to pay for their righteousness. And that's exactly what they're saying. If they're thinking they still have to fulfill the law, then they don't believe in a faith that works apart from the law through the sacrifice of Christ, who paid the law. You see the point? For we maintain that a man is justified by a faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. And since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, Do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. How is the law upheld? How do we uphold the law? By testifying that Jesus paid it. The law demanded death for sin. Jesus paid it. We uphold the law. We uphold it by testifying that Jesus was enough to pay it. God's justice was fully met in Jesus. And don't let anybody talk you out of that. Can y'all see that from the Scriptures? Can y'all see it from the Scriptures? It's very clear, isn't it? What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages aren't credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. It's owed to him, right? If you work for a paycheck, it's owed to you. However, the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. It's like God giving you a paycheck when you didn't work. It's counted to you. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. And that blessing came to us in the form of Jesus, who paid the law for us. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? Is it just for the Jews, or is it also for the Gentiles? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? We just talked about that, didn't we? When was it credited to him as righteousness? Before he was circumcised or after? It was not after, but before. And he had received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. Now this is the cool part. So then, he is the father of all those who believe, but have not been circumcised. That's us, isn't it? The Gentiles. Abraham's not only the father of the Jews who have been circumcised. He's also the father of all of us who believe and have not been circumcised. Because his faith came before his circumcision. The circumcision was only a seal of his faith. And we have that circumcision performed where in us? In our hearts. In our hearts. Not in the flesh. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. Righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham before he was circumcised. So he's the father of both of us, the Jew and the Gentile. And it's not as though it is not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Remember, Abraham was made this promise long before the law came into being. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. And that's cool. And this is a truth on many levels. Where there is no law, there is no sin. There is no transgression. If God didn't give you a law to walk by, then how can you transgress against it? This is what we have by faith, by being purchased out from under the law, all men. Where there is no law, there is no sin. And the point is that your heart should have been changed. And so there's no need for a law, is there? And if there's no need for a law, then there is no transgression. Against love, there is no law. Against love, there is no law. So where there is no law, there is no sin. Kind of see how that works a little bit? Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith in Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls things that are not as though they were. Now I want you to see how this works. What does it mean, he calls things that are not as though they were? He called Abraham righteous when he wasn't righteous. Right? Because Abraham believed God would justify him. That's the basis that he received a righteousness by faith, right? He knew he couldn't justify himself. He knew there was no works that he could do to please God. So he believed that God would provide a sacrifice, didn't he? He believed that God would justify him. And so his faith was credited to him as righteousness. He was called righteous before God made him righteous. He was called righteous before God made him righteous. Because he believed God could and would not only make him righteous, but provide the very sacrifice that would justify him. And that sacrifice was Jesus. And this is what we mean by these heroes of faith met Jesus from afar. How did Abraham meet Jesus from afar? When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, and take him up there on there and up on that Mount Moriah and sacrifice him, do you realize that that's exactly where Jesus was crucified? That is the Temple Mount? And when Isaac carried the wood up there for it to be burned for the sacrifice, just like Jesus carried the cross? Now, who is the true child of promise? Is it the one that was a shadow according to the flesh? Or was it Jesus? Isaac was a picture of Jesus. And when God told him to slay Isaac, he didn't stumble at it. Because he knew that through Isaac your seed will be called. So he reasoned that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. And by greeting the resurrection, he greeted Jesus, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. By making Isaac a sacrifice, he greeted the sacrifice that God would provide for righteousness, Jesus. By trusting God through faith and being obedient to all God asked him, he greeted the righteousness in Christ from afar. He greeted him both through the sacrifice and through the resurrection of the dead. He saw the truth of this gospel. And God called him righteous. He credited him with righteous. He called something that wasn't as though it was, because God has every intention and power to bring it about, his righteousness. So he called him righteous. It was credited to him as righteousness. And that's what faith is. You believe God's promises. And you don't stumble at them. Well, that's how you're saved right now. A righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Abraham received it before Jesus was crucified and rose again. But he received the sacrifice and the resurrection, didn't he? Well, you've received it after. So what you have by faith. And your faith is God calling things that are not as though they were in you. That's what it is. You're not saved. You're not changed. Look at your body in the mirror. God has credited you with righteousness through Christ. He's calling you a son when you're still a sinner. He's calling things that are not as though they were. He has credited you with the righteousness of his son, whose death and blood justified you on the cross. You didn't justify yourself. You stand justified by Christ. And the proof of that justification will be when you're risen from the dead. Right now, what you have by faith, as Abraham walked by faith. And this shows you are a child of Abraham, because you stumbled not at the promise. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. It's a guarantee, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so came the father of many nations. Just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body is good as dead. Now listen, because this is going to be important to you. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us. And I'm going to explain how for us. It's also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus for our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, you're going to have to be in this life like Abraham. And you're going to have to look at your body and consider it dead as he did. And you're going to have to look at your spirit as he did Sarah's womb and see that your spirit can produce nothing of itself. You're going to have to admit it. And then you're going to have to believe God's promise that he can produce in spite of that. That therefore you have your salvation and righteous credited it to you because you believe God is powerful enough to bring what he promised. You see it? Like Abraham, your body is dead and cannot produce. Like Sarah, your spirit is dead and cannot produce. It's barren. And you have to trust in God's power. And your focus and your faith is in the fact he rose Jesus from the dead. And you're looking for righteousness to be credited to you because you believe God is powerful enough to keep what he promised. This is our gospel. So now we can go back again, like I said we would. We can go back now to Galatians chapter 5, and read that one more time, that verse. Galatians chapter 5, one more time, and it's going to take on a new meaning to you. Understanding that your faith is about God calling things that are not as though they were in you. That your righteousness is credited to you. That you don't have a righteousness of your own. But there comes a time when God will fulfill his promise, who is powerful enough to bring it, and he'll bring you that righteousness. Mark my words, Paul tell you, if you let yourself be circumcised, verse 2, chapter 5, Christ will be no value to you at all. Again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised, he's obligated to obey the whole law. That's a man who says, I can produce righteousness myself. But you, who are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ, and you've fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. We wait for it. We trust God to bring it by his promise. So what you have now is the promise of righteousness. It is God calling things that are not as though they were. God calls you righteous. He calls you his child, even though you do not yet appear so. But because you believe God is powerful enough to keep his promise, you have your resurrection in your hand through faith, and therefore your salvation. That's our gospel. we share the faith of Abraham, our father. He greeted Christ before, and we greet it after. But it's the same sacrifice and the same resurrection. And on both ends of this thing, we believe. And in both of us, God has called things that are not as though they were. And we're all going to reach that place of Abraham. You've got to consider that even though your body is dead and cannot produce, and your spirit is barren and cannot produce, God is willing and able to produce in you if you submit yourself to Him in patience and in faith. You believe God, and it's counted to you, credited to you as righteousness. Until the day that God comes to claim His possession, you, through the resurrection of the dead, the return of Jesus. Amen? It's a good place to stop. Any questions or comments?